Hoopstock, Billy D here. Hey, who's getting ready for some basketball? You know, practices have started. It's time to talk about what some of the teams are going to look like. We're going to do that this morning with Lewis Clark State Warriors out there in Idaho. And it is not the Lewis and Clark. It's Lewis Clark State Warriors, last year's runner-up. Their head coach, Austin Johnson, will join us today. And we'll talk about last year's big run for the Warriors and tell the fans in Lewiston what they can expect from their Lewis Clark State men's basketball team. Coach Johnson will join us in just one moment. Cascade Hoopstock, Billy D here. Hey, thrilled to have Austin Johnson, head coach, Lewis Clark State Warriors, the 2020-2021 NAI men's basketball runner-up. Welcome, Coach. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk basketball with you.
So, Austin, we're going to talk about this year's team, but we got to talk about last year's team. It was a very good team. You made it all the way to the final. You had some a tough shooting night against Shawnee State. Shawnee State was also a very, very good basketball team. But just talk about that run last season.
Looking back, it's pretty phenomenal. Just, you know, we essentially, especially being in the Northwest, I mean, we essentially played an independent schedule and just pieced together games, random opponents that we might not typically play. Or we even made a trip to Arizona. We were fortunate that our administration was supportive and we were able to make a trip to get some games in Arizona and play Arizona Christian a couple times. And it was a wild, I mean, it was obviously a challenging year for everybody. And in our situation, it was no different. We just tried to piece together enough games to try and qualify for the national tournament. I mean, we still had the little Cascade series tournament against C of I, but the reality is, I mean, both C of I and us were essentially just trying to scramble to find games and, you know, to go from basically playing an independent schedule to making the national tournament and having those guys, you know, play to the level that they're capable of all the way until the last day of the season was really, really special. And, you know, we knew going in that we were going to be pretty good. I mean, I don't say that with arrogance, just in terms of we returned basically everyone off a team that the year before won 29 games. And so I can't credit those players enough for what they went through in terms of the pressure of trying to pursue a national tournament, trying to pursue a national championship, pressure that comes with that. But also, it wasn't a normal year. You're having games get canceled. You're having games get moved. You're having playing some games without key guys because of COVID or because of injury. And so I just can't say enough about that group and their mental toughness and their resiliency to not just get through the season, but to play at a pretty high level. I mean, especially with how shut down the West Coast and Northwest was and the amount of testing our guys were doing. And so just a special year. And like part of it, obviously, you look back and a special piece was basketball, but the level of endurance that team had, the things that team went through is, and to still go out and win and play at a high level is, it was pretty inspiring to me to be their coach and to see that on a daily basis.
Follow your team last year, and what impressed me was you kind of did it the old-fashioned way. You know, you stopped teams, you held teams to 38% shooting, out-rebounded teams by 8 rebounds a game. You know, just good, hard-nosed, tough basketball. You know, can you talk about your style, what you're trying to achieve when you put a team together?
You know, every team is unique and every team is different, and I would say the last 2 years, offensively, they were really able to shoot the three. Like our forwards could really shoot the three, which, you know, created a lot of problems for other teams defensively. But, you know, first and foremost, we're a defensive program. We try to be a defensive first program. So, you know, offensively, we want to get up and down at the points on the board, but we want to be, you know, a pain to play against. Mm-hmm. And defensively, that's, you know, just being hard nosed, being tough. I'm not a smart enough coach to mix things up very often, to kind of do the same stuff every day in practice, and the same stuff every game. But our guys bought in, and we had a really smart team, which I think helps. When you're really smart, it can make up for some of the deficiencies we had in terms of athleticism. But yeah, we just want to make people have to grind it out when they're on offense. And just, you know, we kind of have a bend but don't break mentality on the defensive end, and don't force a ton of turnovers, but make people miss a lot of shots. And our guys bought into how we want to guard, and you know, as you see it be successful, it just gives you more and more confidence. And those guys' confidence level is obviously at a pretty high level the last couple of years.
So as you said, Coach, great Warrior team last year, probably arguably one of the best teams ever to play there in Lewiston. but you're turning the team over this year. You're losing,
collectively, we're losing about 65% of our scoring and 65% of our minutes played because five of our six seniors from last year are not returning. And so, and then obviously you can break that down and individually what you're losing from each guy. And so, yeah, I haven't looked at everybody's roster across the country, but I'd be hard pressed to find a team that's losing as much as we lost. But that's going to be a unique and fun challenge for us.
You know, I'm going to agree with you, Coach. When I was going through your roster, I was a little bit surprised that, you know, everybody's got a few guys that graduated and moved on or, you know, went and played graduate ball somewhere. But yours just completely turned over. You do have some talent coming back and you brought in a couple of guys. Why don't we talk about, you know, what the fans in Lewiston can look for this year? You know, before we do that, there's a couple of guys you really need to talk about last year. Big part of your history now. Mitchell, you know, 15 points a game, but 111 assists, hit 61 threes, shot 40% from the three. I mean, he could score and he ditched the ball. He was really a big piece of your team last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, we're the last NAI team to have a player make it to the NBA and Jake Wiley. And Jake Wiley is a heck of a player. But D'Amik Mitchell, in terms of what he's done at LC in his career, is the best career at LC State in school history in terms of 4 years, national tournament every year, two Final Fours, and who knows what would have happened with COVID. His junior year, he's the all-time leader in assists, three-pointers made. You know, we only played 24 games this year, and so if we would have played more of a normal season, he's third in scoring all time. And so D'Amik Mitchell is not someone that you get to coach probably very often, and not just his ability, but just how much he bought in and how much he believed in what we were doing. And I can't say there's not enough adjectives in the world to describe what an athletic 5'9" guy and the impact he's had on our program and even nationally for us. And so, phenomenal player, phenomenal person, and a phenomenal teammate. And he kind of spearheaded in terms of, you know, there's a lot on his shoulders last year with us, you know, really trying to chase a national championship. And he handled that so well when, you know, it wasn't always easy. So special person, special player, and definitely going to miss, you know, being in the battles and the huddles and the locker room with him.
And then there's a hometown guy the fans are going to miss, and you're going to miss too, Tristan Bradley. He started for you, 16.6 rebounds. He's moved on.
Tristan is another guy that is for sure one of the best players to ever play at LC. Scored over 1,000 points in his career and, you know, didn't attempt a three-point shot his freshman year, but still ended up being a pretty high-level three-point shooter in his career. And he's a guy who had opportunities to play, whether it was grad transfer to Division I or play overseas, but is married and working and enjoying the grown-up life. But he was he's another guy who I was able to really push and challenge and coach pretty hard. And he took that, he embraced that, and it was really cool just to see his development, see his game and the mental side of the game for him mature. And he was a special player. I mean, there's times I go back and watch film, and some of the stuff he did for a guy his size in terms of shooting is hard-pressed to find that at any level. And just, again, he was another guy who was a fantastic teammate and always put the team first. I mean, if he scored 18, his body language wouldn't be any different the next game if he scored 3 points as long as he won. And that's special, and that's very rare, and that's ultimately why guys like him, you know, did what they were able to do at LC.
And then we don't want to forget Hodges Bailey and Jenner and Albright. They're all moving on as well, and they're all significant pieces of that team last season.
Yeah. Hodges Bailey had a phenomenal senior year. He's one of the best defensive players I've ever coached. I mean, he shot almost 49% from three on the season, averaged 13 a game. And in the Final Four, he hit 7 threes. He was 7-for-9 from three in the Final Four. He had 21 in our Sweet 16 matchup against Oklahoma Wesleyan. And just a super tough, all-in guy. And then, you know, Travis Jenner broke his hand last year and missed about 10 games, but he came back kind of down that stretch right before the national tournament and was huge. He had 20 points in our opening round game. He scored, double digits in three national tournament games, and he led us in scoring his junior year. He's, again, a phenomenal player and phenomenal teammate. And then Jake Albright, his junior year. He was the sixth man of the year in our league. And then this year had a bit different of a role, having to start some because Jenner was out with an injury. And Jake, back-to-back years, second most assists on our team. And when you're the backup center, when I mean, and you have that sort of vision and IQ, that's pretty special. And he's another hometown kid from being in Clarkston. And he's a tough guy to match up with, and just a really tough competitor. And all five of those guys, three of them are married, and that kind of played into why there's different things in their lives right now than just coming back and playing basketball. And but gonna miss all those guys and what they brought to the table. But pretty cool to be able to coach that group for a few years and to see their growth and their buy-in. And but I had a front row seat to watching basically just greatness at work for a couple seasons, and it was really, really cool to see.
So, Coach, you're rebuilding. You've got a returning starter, a guy who can dish the ball, 66 assists last year, Khalil Stevenson coming back. He's a senior, knows the game. He's won a lot of them.
Yeah, we're going to need – I mean, Khalil is kind of a Swiss Army knife guy, and that's what, you know, what makes him great is he's a, you know, jack of all trades. He's not exceptional at any one thing, but he can guard 1 through 4. He can play point guard if you need it, but we also play him at the 4 sometimes as an undersized 4, and we need him. I don't know if his production will – I don't know if he's a guy who goes from scoring 8.5 a game to 16. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily his game or how he's wired, but the biggest thing, we're going to build it around him in terms of he's the most experienced player on our team who has seen the most, been through the most, and won the most. And so we need Khalil to be an everyday guy, a big-time leader, and just an all-out warrior for us. And, you know, we're obviously excited that he decided to come back, and he's going to finish his degree. And so for him coming back made a ton of sense for him, both personally and academically. So excited to have him back. He's an old man now. You know, some of these guys that are coming back using that year, they got a lot of miles on their knees, so we're trying to be smart with what we put some of these guys through. But we're, again, appreciative that he came back. And, yeah, he led us in scoring in the national championship game last year. He had 19. And so he's capable of being a really good, you know, all-conference level player for us. You know, again, the biggest thing he can bring to the table for us is just that belief and that confidence and that veteran leadership.
Kind of the glue guy, that guy on the bench when things get tight, Caldwell, or if you're in some tight gym somewhere, somebody who can kind of steady everybody. Now, you've got several guys who saw some long minutes last season. They're all young, building toward the future, but I know you're not going to cash in for this year. Nathan Fromm, he played 20 minutes a game. He's a guy from Anchorage, scored 7.5, 3 rebounds last year.
Yeah, Nate, junior. He had some big games for us, and he had 19 against Arizona Christian during the season. He had 2 games in Kansas City where he was in double figures, and so he's a guy that, you know, we expect to take a step for us in terms of just confidence, offensive production, and even just better understanding some of the defensive things we do. He's been banged up, hoping to get him back to full speed by the time the season starts, but he's a guy coming back that we think is definitely going to – we need him to take a step, and we're confident that he will with just how hard he works and who he is as a teammate. So we're excited to have him back for sure.
You know, I wanted to ask you about Orion Courtney. I know he went to West Lynn, and for people around the country who aren't familiar with the Portland metropolitan area, West Lynn is a basketball factory. He's a sophomore this year. Talk a little bit about him coming back.
Yeah, Orion played about 13 minutes a game, but he was pretty impactful in those 13 minutes. I mean, he had some really big performances for us. Knows how to finish around the rim. He's a great off-the-ball cutter. He's a high-energy guy, and he played some really good minutes for us. And again, a lot of these guys returning, you know, there were 6 seniors last year, so some of their minutes, it wasn't because minimal minutes because they weren't good enough. It's because the guys in front of them were really, really good, and they were seniors. And so Orion found a way to kind of mesh and fit in with all those returners and carved out a pretty good role. And I believe he set the school record for single season for field goal percentage, which is pretty impressive at a place like LC. I think he shot about 71% from the floor. So now most of those are probably layups and dunks, but he was smart and efficient. And for a freshman in a really unique environment with how old we were and also just the chaos of playing through COVID, I thought he handled himself pretty well and had and got some great experience. Got some really good experience.
And one more returner I want to ask you about, a guy out of Eugene. You went right into Bushnell's backyard and got this guy, Silas Binion. He played about 15 minutes a game for you last season.
Yeah, Silas was a big part of last year. I mean, he played in every game last year except for the national championship game where we pretty much just, you know, rolled with that senior group. But Silas, for a true freshman, you know, no redshirt, true freshman, got a ton of great experience and had good games, had bad games, got to be coached, got to see, again, like he was playing behind the best player in school history and D'Amique Mitchell. And so he got a big time education on what it takes to be successful at this level. But he also had plenty of games where he handled himself really, really well. And for a true freshman, again, the chaos of what COVID brought for a true freshman to, you know, he had almost a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio and shot. He didn't shoot a ton, but was able to shoot about 50% from the floor. And so he's a guy that we expect to take a pretty big step in just in terms of confidence and production because of what he went through last year and how hard he works. And so he's a guy that, yeah, numbers wise, has, you know, he averaged like 3.1 points a game. So those numbers don't pop out, but there's a lot more to him than the scoring and the experience that he gained from this past season.
You had a bare spot in the cupboard. So you went out, you got a couple of graduate transfers that on paper, at least, they look like they're going to definitely be able to add to the team this year. Could you talk about Alex Summerfield? He's a 6'7", 200-pound guy. He played at Alaska Fairbanks, and he's had some success in the past.
Alex is a senior this year as a graduate transfer. He's a guy that we had recruited out of junior college and then graduated from Fairbanks this past spring. They were unable to have a season, so he hasn't played in almost 2 years. And we knew with losing Bradley Yenner and Albright, we were just trying to find guys that could space the floor a bit and that had some experience. And he's one of those guys. He's a very smart player, again, a hard worker and blue collar guy that we're excited about adding him. And yeah, we hope that just his experience overall, he's got some different experience in terms of the college level and has played with and against some really good players. And so we're hoping that his experience will kind of be an anchor for us and what we're trying to do. And then obviously the fact that he can shoot it a little bit is something we were trying to really find and trying to find a couple forwards that could space the floor for us.
And then Central Washington, another school that has a long basketball history, 6'8", 220, Kevin Baker. Now, is this stat right? It says he shot 48% from three.
Yeah, at Central.
And he's 6'7", 6'8"?
And so he's
definitely a stretch guy.
Yeah. So yeah, he'll space the he'll space the floor. He's got as much talent as anyone we've had here the last couple of years. Yeah, his ability to space the floor. He's got good size. He's been a solid rebounder in his career, and for us, you know, he's a guy that if he can really tap into his potential, he could have a really special year, and he brings some versatility for us, which is what we want in terms of, you know, I think he can play both the four and the five, and he's a guy that we need, you know, him and Alex Summerfield to be efficient, productive, tough guys for us this year. And I think they're both up to the challenge. And again, both those guys have been through some battles in the GNAC, which is, you know, one of the best D2 conferences in the country. And so excited to see what Kevin can develop into in this short time that we have him.
You know, anytime you go out and get a pure freshman and, you know, they haven't played a game yet, you're not really sure. I know you've got Keegan Horde out of Spokane.
Yep.
Now, did he play at all last year or is he right out of high school?
He's right out of high school. He played at Central Valley. His junior year, they lost in the state championship game right before COVID hit. And then senior year, obviously, Washington didn't really have normal seasons, but they had a good, obviously shortened season with no real postseason, but senior year had a really good season, a really good team. He's a guy that has improved. His junior year of high school, he started the season on the JV team. By the end of his junior year, he led them in scoring in the state championship game. And then this year he led them in basically almost every statistical category. And so he's a guy who in the last 2 years has really developed and improved and is just a high motor competitor. These freshmen guys like him, he hasn't played in a single game yet. So you can't sit here and specifically pinpoint you know, who he's going to be or what role he's going to have, but he plays so hard and is willing to defend with confidence that he's going to find a way to get on the court. He's going to find a way to get on the court, and he's going to end up making some big plays, I think, you know, at some point during the year, just with his motor and his desire to win.
And then you got the Aussie, another freshman, Kalani Sapwell.
Yeah, Kalani Sapwell. True freshman, and he, for a true freshman, his body is not a true freshman body. He's a guy who's been in the weight room a bunch, and physically, in terms of strength, can play right away. And for us, we want as many skilled decision makers on the court as possible. And he's a guy who can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He's not super athletic, but he can. He's got great endurance, and he's very strong, and he's very smart. So we expect him to be a freshman that will play, and we'll need him to be efficient and productive for us. And excited about, but I think, you know, Tegan and Kalani have already brought some stuff to the table. I think there's some other guys that, you know, are going to mix in there, even some guys that redshirted last year that we expect to take a pretty huge jump. But it's definitely unique and interesting from, you know, the last couple of years, knowing exactly what you're going into the year, like what you're going to get out of a certain guy, to where this year the reality is, like, I can say that about two or three guys, and the other 12, like, we're going to find out as we go. And so it's going to be a big time challenge, but again, pretty excited to just see how kind of it organically the pieces fit together and see how competitive we can be in such a loaded league.
You know, you're completely turning the roster over. If there's one thing, if you look at the roster and you look at toward the season, if I asked you, what's the one thing that worries you the most going into the season?
Oh, man, I worry about everything. So,
of course, you're a coach.
Kind of down to one thing. No, I would say, I think, you know, it's just a very unique, it's just going to be a very unique season. You know, every year there's going to be teams that have, you know, certain teams that have a big senior class, right? And so not only did we have a big senior class, but if you look around our league, everyone else's impactful seniors are back, plus they still sign people. And so I think, you know, in terms of worry, I don't know if like worry is the right word, but like just knowing, look, like all these other teams bring their main guys back that could have, you know, could have graduated. Ours did not. And so now we're going, not only are we young/new, we're young/new playing against really, really good players, teams that kind of already have an identity, and players that kind of already have an identity. So I would say that's the biggest, like, I don't know about worry, but just thing I'm really curious, you know, the question mark is, how big of a factor is it going to be that, you know, we basically have 12 underclassmen on our team and are only returning about 35% of our production and minutes played? Like that's the big, I would say, yeah, just the experience factor is the biggest worry/question mark. And I think every coach, you know, when you've been spoiled having D'Amique Mitchell and Tristan Bradley and Travis Yenner and Hodges Bailey and Jake Albright, and those guys, like when you've had those guys, like I never had to walk down to the practice court and wonder if Travis Yenner or Tristan Bradley were going to bring it that day. Like they brought it. I never had to go into a game and wonder, like, is D'Amique's head where it needs to be? Like I never had to wonder that. And so you lose guys like that, and now we try and develop those same characteristics with a whole new team. And that's why we coach. That's a big challenge for us. And yeah, it'll be really interesting. So I think the league's always been good, but like you look at the steps that not just the perennial teams have taken, but some of the teams in that like it might be in that fourth or fifth, or, you know, right outside that top three or four, like some of those teams have just taken massive steps the last two or three years, whether it was with new coaches or just getting better players. I mean, it's just the league's going to be a nightmare. It always is, but it's going to be really interesting this year, just because there's so many good players that are on that fifth or sixth year of eligibility. And that's when you're trotting out a couple guys who are 19, that's going to be interesting. So, but again, excited for it. And yeah, can't wait to kind of get it going.
So let's talk about the Cascade Conference for a moment, because this is really going to be Lewis Clark State first year. I don't even count last year because you couldn't play in Oregon or Washington.
No, for sure. Yeah, no. Yep.
So
yep,
your guys will be making that first trip into Northwest, and that first trip back to Corbin. You know, it's a conference you know well. Fans might not know, but you coached at Corbin, had a lot of success there. You know, their first trip into Klamath Falls, playing at 4,500 feet. You know, that whole, everything that comes along with all that. You know, what are you looking forward to as you rejoin the Cascade Conference as a coach?
I mean, for a coach, the reason I'm excited to be in it is there's, you know, in the previous conference, we were going to get to play each other three times in the regular season, and then a fourth time in the conference tournament, and then a fifth time if you saw them in the national tournament. And so I'm excited to play in a league where it's a bit more quote-unquote normal, if you will, and play each other twice, home and home, like how it should be. I'm excited for us to be playing in a league where we recruit from regionally. Most of our guys are, you know, Washington, Oregon, you know, Northwest guys. And so they get to play in front of their families. And I think that is special and means a lot. And then there's history. I mean, Oregon Tech has won three national championships and CDV has won one in the last like 25 years or whatever. So that's four national championships in the last 25 years, which I realize a lot of people will say like, oh, 25 years is a long time, but like four national championships in that stretch, like, that's impressive. And then you throw in the fact that OIT was just in the championship game. C of I was just in the Final Four. C of I, in the last normal year that C of I had, they were undefeated in conference. Like Southern Oregon, I mean, like Eastern Oregon, Corbin won, you know, the conference last year and returns everybody. Bushnell looks, I mean, I could go down the list. Like, I just, I'm excited because night in, night out, you're going to play really, really good teams. You play really, really good players. And I just think for our guys too, just being able to actually play games in the Northwest, like, I just think that'll be more enjoyable because that's what we are. We're a Northwest school with Northwest kids. And so for them to play in their backyards and have their families and friends come watch them, I just think it's going to make the dynamic of road games even better. And there's also just more regional rivalries. I mean, we should be in CFI's league. We should be playing EOU. So I think there's a lot of things, you know, down, you can make a list of what I'm looking forward to. Those are some of the big ones.
Well, Coach, I'm definitely looking forward to getting out to Lewis Clark State, watching a basketball game. Looking forward to you walking back into Danny Miles Court, where you had some real success. You won a conference title there one year. Just,
you're looking forward to that more than I am. I'm not super looking forward to that. That's going to be a coach done a phenomenal job there, and those guys are absolutely loaded. And that, and obviously Corbin is a place that means a ton to me, both personally and professionally. So it will be it'll be unique walking back in there to coach against them.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to basketball, period, after last season.
Let's just all have normal seasons with fans in the stands and everyone stay safe and let these kids get to do what they love with the people that they enjoy being around. That's a huge thing, is that the mental health benefits of competition.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. Again, congratulations on the runner-up last season, but hey, it all starts again. Like I say, I look forward to seeing you this season.
Sounds good. We appreciate it, Billy.
Okay. Thank you very much.